Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chevy Buick GMC. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
What's up, everybody? JP Finley, Redskins Talk the Podcast is here. Rich Tandler is here. We have a lot to discuss, starting with Kirk Cousins and the very, very near franchise tag deadline. First, we want to thank the good people at Commuter Connections. A couple clicks is all it takes to share a ride to work when you want, where you want, for free. Check them out, commuterconnections.org, 1-800-745-RIDE, or they have an app. Obviously, if you're listening to a podcast, you want to use the app. Carpool Now is the app, and it's available. So check them out at Commuter Connections. All right, Tandler, what's up, man?
Hey, doing great. Let's roll.
So how serious do you think the odds are Kirk gets traded?
I would put them up in the coin toss area, 50-50.
Wow, that high, huh?
Yeah. I'm not going as far as Daniel Jeremiah did and said it's more possible that he will be gone than he stays. But I don't think they're going to sign him to a deal. You know, I think the gap between what they value him at, you know, that let's just say it's $18 million. It might be higher. It might be as high as $20 million. But, you know, if you look at that, and, you know, it's going to take 24 plus to sign him. That's just
Is that per year, you think, or this year? You're saying AAV is going to be $24 million a year for him to get a new deal done?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I think so. That's what I'm hearing. He wants to, you know, he wants to max out pretty much.
Right, and I'm kind of asking the question. I know that that's what the Cousins camp wants. I'm kind of just asking it to point out how high that is, man. That is, it's pretty nutty.
Right. So, you know, the question is, are the Redskins, you know, and this is kind of, I'm going to do an article on this when I get my, you know, kind of get my thoughts together on it. But, you know, are the Redskins going to be the first team to just say no? You know, the conventional wisdom around the NFL is, oh, you got to pay the quarterback. It doesn't matter. They've kind of backed themselves into a bad bargaining position. But, you know, you got to pay whatever it takes to keep the quarterback. They might test that and, you know, let him go, meaning i.e. trading him this year and maybe let him go next year without a viable long-term solution at quarterback. You know, is that, are they going to, you know, that would be groundbreaking, really, saying, no, we're not paying this. You know, this is ridiculous. He's not worth it.
That would be nuts. I mean, but at the same time, you wonder, it feels like they are in a position to do it. I mean, it's just, it's remarkable that they haven't gotten what seems like close to a deal. And maybe that really, especially, I think, knowing how far off the numbers were last year, I mean, you know, when the guarantee for the long term was only, what, $4 million more than the guarantee for the tag, you really knew how different these two sides felt about one another. And there's little reason to believe that that's changed.
Well, it's probably changed some. I think the Redskins has gone up, but maybe it hasn't gone up as much as his Cousins' valuation of himself has gone up. Or, you know, let me put it more this way, what he believes his market value is. So I think the Redskins probably came up some. Cousins went up probably at least as much or more. So the gap is the same. It's at a higher level. Probably. I think the gap is probably the same.
So you're saying 50-50 he ends up as a San Francisco 49er?
Yes. Well, I'll say 50% stays, 40% 49er, 10% to another team.
Yeah, we had some dude on Twitter last night telling you and I that he's going to go to Cleveland. I don't think either of us really are buying that. And so
yeah.
Apologies to whatever the dude is on Twitter that said that, but you know, what do you think the odds are? So it's so rare to see, but like within the last month, we've seen John Lynch get the Niners GM job, and it was silent. Nobody knew that was coming. Not Niners beat guys, not Schefter, not Glazer, nobody. So what are the chances that there could be a total leak-proof Cousins deal in the works between the Skins and Kirk?
Oh, I think it's definitely possible. You know, the whole, you know, well, just look, you know, yeah, different group at Redskins Park, but you know, what was it 5 years ago now? We had the RG3 trade, pretty much came out of the blue. Although, you know, it's the same kind of thing. It was like, hey, this would make sense. Hey, they could do this. But you know, we didn't hear that they were actually working on a deal with the Rams until it was a done deal. So I think that's very much a possibility.
I mean, I know firsthand conversations with some high ranking folks at Redskins Park. They believe in Colt McCoy. They think he's a very viable option. I know you and I think differently on that. I think the question for Colt would be health. You think the question is both ability and health?
Yes.
It's wild to think that could be becoming a reality.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, obviously the thing would be, you know, the way you do it would be, you know, you make the deal. You don't necessarily use the draft. Let's say they get the number two, you know, just a scenario there for a deal that's floating around out there.
Who do you like it to?
They swap 2 and 17.
Yo, can I got to stop you. Why are they swapping? That doesn't make any sense. They should be getting the number two and then whatever other compensation occurs. But the swap, to me, makes this deal way less enticing.
Okay, well, that pick, the second overall pick is worth two of the number 17 picks plus an early second rounder on the draft chart. But here's the thing, okay? What is the 49ers incentive to offer a whole big pile of draft picks if they know, and they would know because they would be talking to Cousins, you know, Mike McCartney, at least, his agent, if they know, okay, that San Francisco is the only place he'll sign a contract. It's not like they can, call 31 teams and say, hey, Kirk Cousins is on the market, give us your best offer. All they can do is deal with San Francisco, and the 49ers know that. So why are they going to offer, you know, okay, the Redskins want to get something, but, you know, but that doesn't mean they have to give up the sun, the moon, and the stars, especially considering, you know, Kirk Cousins isn't going to give them much of a discount. He's going to want $23, $24 million from the 49ers. That's a pretty hefty thing to take on. Plus, it's essentially getting him a year early since he could be had for free next year. So all those factors are going to make the price for Kirk Cousins, I tell you what, fans, I can guarantee you if it happens, fans are going to scream.
If they swap the first?
Well, whatever the compensation is, I don't know if it'll end up being that exactly or what, but it is going to be a whole lot lower than what people think it would be, unless another team can get involved in it, like the Bears might.
The Bears are the sneak team to get involved.
Yes, that's what it would take to raise it, to jack the price up. But it's a one team market for them. You know, they just have to. You know, if the Redskins keep them and, you know, and playing for a year and can't re-sign them, you know, that would be a 2019 third round compensatory pick. You know, okay, so that's kind of the floor. Why do the 49ers have to go a heck of a lot above that if there's no competition?
Yeah, I mean, the only counter I would say to the no competition, and I guess it kind of depends on when Kirk signs the tag, but I mean, if it really breaks down to the point where Kirk's only saying he'll play in one place, but the tag has been signed, the Skins could then just trade him somewhere else and be like, look, you can have him for a year. We'll take less just because we're not going to get pushed around by the Niners.
Okay, but then I'm in. Yeah, I guess that's possible. But are they, you know, and then maybe, you know, trade him for, I don't think you're going to get much more than a third for that. But then if they sign him to a long-term deal, his new team, then you could get a conditional 2018 pick thrown in there. But, you know, Cousins still, you know, again, we go back to Cousins' leverage. You know, he could say, you know, sure, they could trade him. And he can say, nope, I'm, you know, okay, that's cool. I'll play with you guys. I'll have fun. I'll put up some numbers. And I'll still be a free agent next year at age 29. So, you know, again, it's still, you know, it's still there. It's still out there. But you know, I just don't know if that'll happen. It's a possibility, yes, but not a very big one.
What I think is interesting, the Niners are a mess, man. Like, they are in need of a total rebuild. They're bringing in somebody who's never been a GM and somebody who's never been a head coach, which it could work. I mean, who knows? But, like, I just find it interesting that Kirk might force – and it's all hypothetical, right? It's all speculative. But, like, would you really – force your hand to go to that bad of a team just because you like the offense?
Well, you know, the 49ers, you know, they are one of those franchises that, you know, they have the resources. You know, they have the new stadium. They have the money.
They've been cheap lately, though.
They have tons of cap space.
But that's because they haven't spent a lot.
Okay, well, I don't think Jed York is cheap. They have to spend a lot of money to get to the floor, to the spending floor. I mean, they don't have to do it this year, but and certainly Cousins would take a pretty big chunk out of what they have to spend. But he's not on a team right now that's gonna, you know, that is knocking on any Super Bowl doors just yet.
Yeah, and that's an important note, I think. I was talking with Dukes about this last week, is that folks, you know, a lot Redskins fans, are a lot of them are screaming. I've seen this on Twitter a lot, and on my Facebook page too. This has been a recurring comment. If they let Cousins go, I'm done with the team. I'm selling my tickets. I'm giving up my season tickets. And my reply is like, really? I mean, Kirk has been good, and I think you and I are both in the camp that they should re-sign him, but is losing Kirk Cousins enough to quit the team? I mean, I feel like Cousins' value might be a little higher than it actually is, and I think clearly the stalled negotiations kind of would back that up.
Yeah. You know, if people want to go, that's fine. I don't think, you know, they're saying the same thing about Griffin. If Griffin goes, I go. But I do think it is, I don't think it's more, it's so much about Cousins himself. It's just about the feeling that if Cousins does go, it's starting all over. starting all over again. You know, just it's kind of like how many times do you reboot the whole thing? And you know, and I get the same comments too. And it's okay, Gruden will be gone, and McLuhan will be gone, and they'll be starting all over, and yada yada yada. And I can't take that again. You know, we'll see. You know, I think they're mostly idle threats. But you know, I did. You know, I posed a question on Twitter. You know, are season ticket holders not? Are they holding, sitting on their invoices, waiting to renew? You know, are they going to pay, you know, $1,000 the ticket up to, you know, 20, however much club seat is? Are they going to pay that to see Colt McCoy and maybe Nate Sudfeld and, you know, Mark Sanchez or whoever else they get?
Romo
is a veteran backup. Romo, whoever they can get to, you know, quarterback. Are they going to pay all that money to watch that? And I think that could be a legitimate question.
Okay, brief break for our sponsors. We'll be right back.
A couple clicks is all it takes to pay your bills, to share your thoughts, and now to share a ride. A couple clicks gives you more options to more places for free. Register to rideshare today at commuterconnections.org or 800-745-RIDE. Try our new Carpool Now app too.
Okay, but Rich, I want to bring something up. You just talked about Jed York not being cheap. Last year, they were super cheap, the Niners. They only signed one veteran free agent to the point where its free agency hasn't even started yet. And just in, I guess, waived players, they've already spent more so far in 2017 than they did in all of 2016. So I'm just trying to really hammer home that San Francisco team is a mess. And I just think forcing your hand to go to San Francisco is not the wise path.
Okay, well, I understand that, but I'm not so sure that Cousins won't take his chances with Kyle.
Well, we'll see what happens. All right, we'll take a Cousins break. How about that?
Okay.
You and I, our off-season questions posts have been a lot of fun, I think. It's a good way to just kind of kick around topics. DeSean Jackson, you and I both agree, is probably not coming back.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it. You know, he'll be 30. Well, it's his age 30 season, essentially. He won't be 31 until December. It seems like he's in good shape, but I just don't think. And you brought out that in the post, you brought out that that Gruden quote about how they wanted to make sure that they keep their leaders around. And DeSean Jackson, you know, he's not a lot of things, very talented, but certainly not a leader by any stretch of the imagination. You know, Pierre Garçon is more of one, and he's more of a lead by example guy. But DeSean really isn't even a lead by example guy.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know. This is such a slippery slope argument. He's not a bad locker room guy, though, at all. I don't think.
No, I would agree, but it's you know, DeSean does DeSean. He does his.
But I think plenty of players do that.
Not to the extent that he does, I don't think.
Yeah, that's true. But a lot of it is also that he's really good. I mean, you know, what's the old Bill Parcells line? Like, I don't treat everybody the same, but I treat everybody fair. When you're really good, sometimes you get to do things a little differently.
Sure. And I don't, you know, I think that just, you know, I don't think he was subject to any discipline or, you know, if Jay didn't sit him down and say, "Hey, Sean, you gotta straighten up your act and, you know, not sit out Wednesdays because
he
didn't sit out every Wednesday. I don't want to say that, but he did, you know, sit out some practices. Well, let me put it this way: with injuries that would have had others practicing still,
right?
But you know, this is the time. You know, you don't talk to him about that because that's him. I'm sure he did that he was in Philadelphia for 6 years, however long that was. I'm sure he did it there. But, you know, I think eventually that you end up getting, when the time comes and your contract is up, you know, it's probably maybe they've had enough of him and that he's had enough of them and it's over.
All right. You wrote about is it Dontari or Don Terry? Do you know?
I think it's Dontari.
All right. You wrote about Chiefs,
Let's call him Poe.
Well, good idea. You wrote about Poe, the Chiefs defensive lineman, who you and I have kicked this idea around a lot. I think one of the absolute biggest failures of the Redskins organization dating back to 2010 when they made the switch to the 3-4 defensive scheme is not having a real nose guard. And they haven't done that. And Poe would give them that. Curious your thoughts on him and if you think he could be a target because he's going to be a free agent.
348 pounds, man. That's a load in the middle. I don't think he'll be a target because of the price tag. Okay, this is the kind of thing. Now, wait a minute. Let's back up a little bit. If they have Kirk Cousins, I don't think they can pay him. If they do have Kirk Cousins, I don't think they can pay him. If they don't, maybe he's a consideration, something you do with that $24 million from the franchise tag that you could spend. And maybe, if you're looking at, the next year having a rookie you draft, somebody you draft this year, having a low quarterback cost, that's the kind of thing that you can do.
Right. I don't know that they'll have that. I think they're going to have a quarterback on the books for $24 million for 1 year.
Yeah. I mean, that's, it's crazy. And, they're already, if he does play out this year, that's already uncharted waters. With it having a quarterback on a second tag and paying him that much for one season, it's like, nobody's ever done that before. No quarterback who's had back-to-back 4,000-yard seasons has ever played for another team the following season. He's always been back with with the team with whom he got the 4,000. So it's so much. Again, this is what I was saying earlier about let me put it this way: if the Patriots were letting a 2x 4,000-yard quarterback go without a backup plan there, without a certain guy, long-term guy in place, people would think, oh, well, that's a little risky, but hey, it might be the way to think. If the Seahawks, Seahawks did something like that, people go, wow, that's a little bit, taking a little bit of a chance, but maybe they can pull it off. And then, but now you've got,
totally.
But now it's the Redskins.
I've been saying that. If this was an organization where fans had more trust and they just had kind of a better reputation across the league, I think folks would be applauding them for not wanting to go to 125 or 110 million on Kirk Cousins. But because it's the Skins and because their reputation is what it is, whether or not that's fully deserved is a different debate, they get zero benefit of the doubt.
Right.
All right. We're going to go real quick to our sponsors. We're coming right back. I got one more big free agent to ask you about, and then we got our Twitter questions. So here we go, sponsors.
A couple clicks is all it takes to pay your bills, to share your thoughts, and now to share a ride. A couple clicks gives you more options to more places for free. Register to Rideshare today at commuterconnections.org or 800-745-RIDE. Try our new Carpool Now app too.
Okay, Tandler. Reports came out that Alshon Jeffrey is not going to be franchise tagged by the Chicago Bears. The Redskins could potentially lose DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon. They could lose one of the two. They could re-sign them both, but I don't think either of us see that happening. Frankly, I think both guys go. But I wrote about this for CSNMidAtlantic.com that I don't expect the Skins to really be interested in Alshon. I think they want Josh Doctson to be Alshon. They don't want to have to go pay for Alshon. I'm curious what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see. There is some, and this is Twitter and agent-driven talk at this time, but, talking about Kenny Stills getting $12 million.
That was nuts. You saw my tweets about that, right? I went crazy at that.
Talking about Jeffrey getting more than the $15 million average annual value of A.J. Green. who has been far, far, far more productive. Now he's, you know, Jeffrey's been, you know, the last 2 years, he was injured 1 year. He had the PED, I think it was PED, some 4-game suspension last year. So, you know, that obviously hurts production. But, you know, I'll be interested to see what reality is when it comes to what these guys end up making. I Ken Stills, $12 million, that just sounds like a number that his agent threw out there to somebody. And, you know, same with Alshon Jeffrey at 15. I don't see it.
I agree. I think they may have to sign a receiver, especially if they lose both guys. I tell you what, one guy I think they should draft, is Zay Jones, the kid from East Carolina. I think he could step in and play right away.
Well, that's what they'll need if both of them leave. They either have to sign somebody as a free agent or get a guy to come right and play, because behind Jamison Crowder and Doxson, you've got Maurice Harris and Ryan Grant.
Well, I mean, even Doxson's a question mark. So the kid Zay Jones, I don't know if you saw, I wrote like 5 kind of under the radar guys to watch at the combine. Zay killed it at the Senior Bowl when I was down there. Great hands, good speed, and I think he'll have another great week at the combine. And I just think he had 158 catches last year. 158 catches as a senior. So he's a 4-year guy, can run every route. I mean, just, I really think he could be a player if it's Washington or not, but I think the Skins are going to need somebody to step in. All right, Tanner, you ready for Twitter questions?
Let's go.
All right. I don't know where to start. We get a lot of crazy stuff. All right, we just talked about Kenny Stills, so we won't do that. Do you still think Kenny Britt's in play for the Skins? So Nathan Tolliver and Strict9 at Spider Skins are wondering who they might go after free agency wide receiver.
I think Britt is in play. You know, if you're going to pay, $8, $9, $10 million, something like that. You know, Britt is, I think he's 3 years younger than, or maybe at least two years younger than Pierre and Deshaun Jackson. So, you know, I think that gets a little bit of a premium.
And
premium,
bigger.
He's another big guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, he could still be on the list. Yeah, I like Stills. You know, he would give you that speed. He's not Deshaun Jackson, but he can give you some of that element of a deep threat back. But again, it depends a lot on the price.
Yeah, price will drive it all. Britt is big and young, but you know, I've written about this. I've talked to a number of agents. If you're a wide receiver's agent, you're not going to DC until you know what's going on at quarterback, unless the money's overpowering or you don't have other options. But if this goes sideways with Kirk and you're looking at Colt and maybe competing with Cutler or Sanchez or whoever, I think you're going to see kind of a change in who's interested in coming to play for this Redskins offense. That said, they'll still be able to sign guys because it's the NFL and there's millions of dollars at stake. A guy like Brandon LaFell or something could come and put up some numbers. All right, we'll go speed round a bit. Joey Torones at JoeyT5656 wants to know if we have thoughts on Joey Ivey, who's a D tackle out of Florida. He says he checks all of McLuhan's boxes. I haven't watched. I don't have a thought on Joey Ivey. Tandler, you got one?
No, yeah. I have not dug that deep yet.
I will be watching all of the D line guys at the combine, so maybe check back next week, Joey T, and we'll see what we can do. This is, I like this guy's name. This is Kurt Cousins, spelled K-U-Z-I-N-Z, at C Cousins. He wants to know, who are the Redskins' top free agent targets? I've been pretty clear about who I think should be. It's a guy, Jonathan Hankins from the Giants. I think he's just a really good fit, and he's a guy that should continue to get better. He's young, which fits everything McLuhan says he wants. Also, I don't know if you saw this, but it came across Twitter that the Giants are going to franchise JPP. So I don't know that the Giants can go that much money on their D-line again if they're going to keep JPP to keep Hankins. I think Hankins will hit free agency.
Yeah, it's almost guaranteed. They've got JPP, they've got Snacks Harrison to pay, they've got Olivier Vernon to pay. So I think, I think be out there. Benny Logan was mentioned as a possibility a while ago. Calais Campbell has been popping up here and there. He's 30, but he obviously is, as Kirk Cousins can testify, he's still quite a force there on the D-line.
Sean Laval could second that, I think.
Yes, exactly.
The Campbell signing, and I think he's a better player, but it just seems too reminiscent of Jason Hatcher a few years ago. And I think Hatcher was older. I think Hatcher was 32.
Yep, he was.
I just don't see them do. Now this may beg a much bigger question of who's actually in charge, but I don't see Scott wanting to sign somebody that'll be 31 when they take a snap in 2017.
I can see that, but again, it's like you said, A, who's in charge, really, and B, to me, although Josh Norman is younger, I think once they signed Josh Norman last year, it's now hard to exclude anyone and say, well, that's not a McLuhan type of move.
Agreed. Well, and they signed Deshaun 2 years prior to that, so they're willing to go after some names, but both the Deshaun signing and the Norman signing were different in that it wasn't early in free agency. Those guys kind of hit the market in unique situations, and the Skins wanted to capitalize, I think, on those situations.
Yeah, they weren't in a bidding situation, really. I mean, there were some other teams involved with both of them, but it wasn't the full open market type of deal.
I wonder if Josh is happy he signed in D.C.
I don't know. Good question. I think he'd like a better pass rush.
Yeah. Well, just because I remember they wanted – New Orleans really wanted him, right? And
that's a garbage defense there. I don't think he would have been much happier there.
Well, I think I mean, that defense was bad, certainly. But I wonder if he couldn't have improved that defense, and then the way they could score in New Orleans, you know, the Skins weren't scoring at the same clip. They were moving the ball probably just as much, but who knows. All right, that's a lot of Twitter questions. There's some more that we're not going to be able to get to. Thank you guys for all of your tweets. We always enjoy that. Tandler, what should we be looking for from you?
Going to start looking at the draft. Doing some draft player profiles. Did Buda Baker, Malik McDowell. We'll have some more coming, and like you, we'll be keeping an eye on the combine to break down anything and everything that might come out of there that's relevant to the Redskins, both from in terms of college players and in terms of what might happen with the Cousins situations or any other deals they might be making.
Should we have a combine party? Like, I'll come over to your house and we'll watch the combine together?
Sure.
You know, you
come on by. We can sit down with Skeeter and check the whole thing out.
You know you can turn away from the phone when you cough, right?
I did.
Oh, okay. All right, tell everybody your social media.
Facebook.com/TandlerCSN. Excuse me, skip the Rich on there. TandlerCSN. And the Twitter has the full Rich_TandlerCSN.
All right. I am at JP Finley CSN on Twitter and JP Finley CSN on Facebook. Also, we want to thank our friends at Commuter Connections. Don't forget them, especially when you're planning your commute to and from work. All it takes is a couple clicks and you can get a free ride to work. You can't beat that, man. When you want, where you want, for free, commuterconnections.org, 1-800-745-RIDE, or they have the app Carpool Now. Tandler, thank you very much, dude. Let's do this. Let's plan on another podcast Wednesday once the tag comes out.
Okay.
Are you open?
I don't know how. I'm happy to do a podcast anytime. I don't know how different things will be, but I will say just real quick, I think that last year the tag was kind of the end of the process, really.
Yeah.
The way it turned out, I think this could be just the beginning of the process.
Especially
this time around.
Especially because the combine runs until Monday. So all of these power brokers in the NFL and around the league are still going to be in Indy bumping into one another.
Yeah, and bumping in and drinking and hanging out at hotel bars and at St. Elmo's and here and there around town.
Indeed. All right, Rich, thank you very much.
Well, Steak Shack, that's the main hangout, Steak Shack.
You heard it here, folks.
One of these days, JP, you got to make it to Steak Shack during Combine Week. It's like 3 a.m. It's quite the scene.
I have been, but never during Combine Week, so I'll have to put it on my bucket list of sorts. Thanks to Rich Tandler for joining us. Folks, make sure you are downloading the podcast, subscribing to the podcast. The podcast party is happening. I can almost reveal the name of the bar we're going to be going to. I'll give a big hint. It is on the Green Line and the Red Line if you plan on taking the Metro. So that's a big hint. Thank you guys very much for listening, and let's talk soon.
I owe you a beer.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.